No word from Marvel, but we know how Marvel is. They waiting to win. Like they
Not gonna
just
play with
wait.
you. They ain't gonna play with you, man. I
And
need
they
Kuma.
stroking their chin, they doing this here.
Well.
My old buddy from Kill Bill, that Grandmaster, he that long gray beard,
Yeah, he's you know or
just.
the chicken from Family Guy.
Was a fight. I will talk about that. That's one of the top 10 greatest fights. That chicken and Peter.
That took up the whole show, and they man, boy, they time management on Family Guy is awesome. That took up the whole show, and they managed to still get other content on there.
Oh man, boy, that when I say that is on site, on site. Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, hey, just that show bring to you. Hey, Mike, James, and Chris. Hey, Mike, James, and Chris. Hey, what to say yet?
Keep it going. Keep it going. Keep it going. Don't
what you
stop.
Eating over
it. Huh?
What you eating over there?
I'm eating the dry cereal of the Sahara Desert. Fresh out of the Sahara Desert. The dry, stale cereal that you can think of. But how's everyone doing? I'm doing fine. I'm blessed and I'm here. And yes, yes, yes. Everything is all good over here.
Yes, indeed, man. To Shay not here. She out there running the 5K, so she out there booking. So holler at Shay. And then what Chris, what you got going on down there, brother?
What you looking for, Chris?
I'm just happy. I'm not gonna do too much today, but I just have to say that finally, football has come back to Houston, Texas.
My God.
Can't do the eyebrow. We'll talk about that. More on that later, but this is my eyebrow.
Boy, y'all kill me. Y'all get excited over the draft. But hey, man, hey.
We'll get to that later.
We're gonna get to all that later.
We're about to get into that right now, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Just Acting Up Show. We're gonna be talking about some NFL news, the draft, and NBA news, and of course, some trailers and drop and all that and more of that. What's going on with that, Mike?
Hey, you got some dirt on your wall.
Carry on.
Let's go ahead and get to this show, ladies and gentlemen. Just Acting Up Show. Y'all stay locked in. Ladies and gentlemen, you already know what it is. When you come on the show, what you got to do? Like, share, comment, and
subscribe.
Subscribe. Click that bell button, please. Please, please, please help me. Please help me, please.
Right. Easy.
If you can watch 60 minutes of trash TV and reality show TV, you can take 2 seconds to subscribe. It's just doop, just like that, just like that.
Although we like you guys shows, Chris, we gotta people trash the TV.
Okay, it's not trash. I do have a guilty. I do watch a little bit of it myself. Right?
You know, yeah.
Guilty pleasure.
What's going on, ladies and gentlemen? It's a beautiful day in Zamunda. Now I'm just playing. It's a beautiful day outside, a beautiful day in Houston, Texas. But you know it's also about to be beautiful? Tumpalooza that's coming to you at the George R. Brown Convention Center, May 26th to May 28th. So you might want to go ahead and get your Flash Pass tickets because they got some hits. They got some guests coming through, don't they, y'all?
Hey, yes, they do. Yes, they do.
Did y'all see? They even added a WWE. That kind of rhymed, didn't it?
Yeah.
And who was it? Mankind? Remember Mankind with the sock?
Mankind and a few others. Christopher Judge. Kratos.
Yeah, a lot of people, like you said, Mankind, Mr. Sako gonna be in the building, and from Team Extreme Leader, that was my team, that was a squad back then. That was one of my crushes back then. So, and of course, like I said, I'm rocking the anime shirt and Naruto, so I know gonna be some anime artists up in there too, anime voiceover artists, all that and more. Comic book Palooza, they still adding more to the list. Y'all make sure y'all get y'all tickets, man. It's going down in H-Town.
ComicPalooza.com.
Comicpalooza.com. Go now. Get your passes. The Just Acting Up show will be in the building.
So let's go ahead and get into it. Of course, we already know the NBA playoffs are here. So does the general team get eliminated? I mean, we're in the next round now, man.
So. Shout out to the Lakers. They handled business last night. They got rid of the Memphis Grizzlies. They be doing all that jibber-jabber. And now they sit down and they be at home. But this has been a very exciting playoffs. It's been a very exciting playoffs. From what I have seen, yeah, it's been action-packed. And this is only the first round.
LeBron out there running with the young boys. He don't look like I did the other day at the gym.
Yeah.
I got out there and it was – I'm like, y'all, I'm going to stay down here. Y'all just go.
LeBron say, oh.
First dunk. And I'm like, oh, okay, he's still.
Y'all say we playing full court? Half court. I'm not where I'm at, where I need to be at right now. Half court, please.
That's right.
But it's a good playoff series. And shout out to the Houston Rockets finally getting a head coach. And man, I was like, wow, we actually got Udoka. I didn't think they were gonna get
him. That was very aggressive, but that's cool. That's good.
He's a good coach. It just he won't be bringing me along with him to the game.
It's all good. You know where he at? Well, it's the city of the hey. Doku will be fine, boy. He'll be fine, boy. He's gonna be fine.
They gonna take care.
He gonna take care. Ask James Harden.
What?
Shout out to James Harden.
Tell me.
James Harden been challenging people to a duel. I don't know if y'all seen that video about him. It looked like I challenged you to a duel. Such a weak slap.
That was a weak slap.
That was. I'm expecting when you read the video, I'm like, I'm expecting to see him like smack the sonic rings out of home. I'm like, yeah,
that's
all. Yeah. It was one of those, how dare you?
I never.
He took his glove off. What else?
Pacing.
My son, I challenge you.
Steve Harper slapped Lawrence Tate harder than that in Family Matters.
He's dead. That was Lawrence Tate. I felt that slap. I was like, damn.
Wow.
Jesus.
Dang, Harper. Oh, man. But anyways, man, NFL draft has come and gone. Man, y'all already know.
No, how it ain't come and gone. It's still going. This is the third round.
That's right. I'm sorry. Thanks for correcting. But yeah, man. Technically, everybody getting their draft here, cleaning up. I don't know. Every time I think of draft, I think of either the movie Draft Day or I think of Russell Wilson's ex-wife that still pitching when she got excited. And now, fast forward to now. So I'm being messy right now. But anyways, NFL draft. Sorry, I just can't get that picture out the head of her.
You know, we haven't had football in Houston for a few years, so it's good to have football back in Texas. I'm so happy for that. You know, I've kind of missed the game, you know. We definitely got our quarter. You know, something about the Midwest quarterbacks, I guess, that we just love. We went to Ohio and grabbed C.J. Stroud, and then we went and got the guy. We moved up from the 12th to the 3rd pick to get the linebacker, you know, that I can't think of his name right now.
Will Anderson.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, because everybody forgets D'Amico Ryans, former Texan, is our defensive coordinator. So he got his guy, the offense got their guy to build around. And then even was it yesterday? Well, as of Friday, I think we got Tank Bell as our wide receiver. So
yes.
Yeah, we got some good picks. So you know, Texans football is
You know, I'm very critical of the Houston Texans, but I have got to say, that was some good picks. Personally, I think you guys really wanted Bryce Young, and Carolina. Somehow, some way, Carolina did some willing and dealing because they was not in the first round pick, but they end up getting Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud. He was the second. So it's good that you guys got a quarterback because that's what you needed. Everybody did. My team did well, too. And Will Anderson is not someone that's a – hey, man, he is that. So they got – that was two home runs. And I was surprised. The Texans was actually aggressive. And we got what we needed. We needed an O-line. Thank you, God. We got an O-line to protect our quarterback's blind side. And this kid right here is 21 years old, and he is 6'5 and 314 pounds.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, he's a big boy. And then we got a couple of guys. We got a tight end from Georgia, Darren Washington. And then we got Benetton. He's an I forgot his position. But what I'm really excited about throughout the draft, we got Joy Porter Jr. His dad played for the Steelers. And now the son is playing for the Steelers. I thought that was pretty cool because T.J. Watts and Derek Watts play on the team and a couple other guys. It's like a family thing. So it's all full circle because Joy Porter Jr. is pretty good and his dad is a Hall of Famer. So, hey, man. Exciting, man. Football is around the corner. So
now, I know what is funny is how art imitates life. If you all ever seen the movie Draft Day, the top quarterback that everybody thought was going to be the number one guy or one of the top quarterbacks,
yeah,
he kept falling and falling.
Falling and falling.
It was like almost same exact thing from the movie. You could tell he was upset and frustrated, like, dang, I'm not in first round. Like, upset. Like, you know.
Yeah. But you got to be careful now. He on whatever team he go to, he might show out. Like, yep. Revenge season. But has anybody picked him up yet? No? All right.
Well, the Titans traded up to grab him. Tennessee Titans. They would come to our division.
Ooh. I know, right? That. Whoa, it's a revenge season. That man, he going to remember that.
Everybody on the list.
Yeah.
Everybody. Oh, yeah. Speaking of revenge, before we close this segment out, two people got the axe this week too. Don Lemon.
And, I know. They paid Don Lemon pretty well too. Paid him off. People are still trying to investigate and see why did they let go of Don Lemon. Some people showing a video of him telling these other, his execs in the back, like, hold on, I can't talk without him here. So,
yeah, Tucker Carlson.
So, yeah, Tucker Carlson, yeah.
Tucker Carlson and Don Lemon got axed from their networks, Fox News and CNN. And, you know, somebody said they should start a show together.
Hey, that honestly wouldn't be a bad idea. Because they both have their own different views about a lot of things. That wouldn't be a bad idea, honestly.
You said revenge season. On site.
Yeah, on site. Yeah, they could be the next Shannon Sharp and Skip Bayless, but only with news and politics. So, you know, that'll work. Seriously.
It will work. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we about to talk about some trailers in the Critics Corner. So y'all stay locked in to Just Act Much Show. Hi, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Critics Corner on the Just Acting Up Show. But don't forget to check out Jarvis' VIP room. I got to upload some more videos, some more content. But while I'm not doing any content right now, you can check out T-Code Collective Creatives, where I was also a part of a certain skit called Black Don't Crack. It's very hilarious, ladies and gentlemen. If you see me out, boy out there laughing, I know y'all see me boy out there laughing.
Let me see if I can imitate you.
Oh man, man, big shout out to my girl Trey Cone. Man, that was hilarious, man. That it was so much fun being a part of that sketch. She got some more cooking up. Y'all might want to go over to the channel and check it out, man. It was hilarious. The whole video was hilarious. So yeah. I can't even do the laugh right now. I improv that laugh and some other things in that sketch, and it just flowed perfectly. It was a great outing, man.
It was the great. It was that. That sold it. The stomp for me.
Yeah.
Everybody know that uncle.
What he say? What Spice to do? Spice Adams, what? What was Rick? Why are you crazy?
Oh, boy, I embodied everybody's uncle on that one, boy. Laughed, the drinking, and everything. But yeah, y'all check out that sketch, man. So, getting into breaking news, it's been trailer crazy. The summer is upon us. It's coming. It's still creeping on us. And you know, that's when that trailer started hitting. Yeah. So, the Transformers, that trailer, that boy, that looked official.
Yeah. I'm excited. Old Dominique. She's in there. Yeah. Old Dominique. She's in there. Toby. I can't pronounce his last name. Toby. He's in there too. Shout out to Toby SWAT at his finest. And hey man, I'm excited. You know, I guess now we get to see Unicron.
Yes.
Finally.
Yes.
Shout out to Anthony Ramos as well. Is in there.
Yeah, he's a very good actor. If y'all ever seen Alexander Hamilton, whoever was a part of the Hamilton cast, that on stage cast,
yeah,
man, bro, because they can act. Because if you see it, you'll see what I mean. But him, yeah, he great pick. I love it. So looking forward to when that movie comes. And let's not also forget Denzel is coming back for another third installment of The Equalizer.
Yeah, that looks good. You know, Denzel, for him not to, he's not one to usually do sequels. And for him to do a third installment, it was already big that he did the second one. Now he's doing the third one. I was like, okay. But, you know, I think with him, Spike Lee and Antoine Fuqua, you know, he loves working with them. So I think they just get him as an actor. So sometimes you find those people that's kind of like your spirit animal, you know, creatively. So,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah. I didn't get a chance to finish the trailer, but I can just imagine. Denzel got that slow walking. He ain't like quick and fast like John Wick, but he got that slow old man walk. And if he get 2 years old, so. You know.
Tell him me.
I can't do it. I tried.
Yeah, he's old. He got that calm demeanor.
That angry, that calm, angry that makes you kind of like, oh, he about to mess something up.
That's what I'm saying. Like, oh, he ain't saying that. Oh, yeah. Well,
That's you telling me?
Yeah.
You got him.
That's himself, bro. Yeah, man. And also, quick shout out to Malcolm Carter and the Cinematic Affair. They have an event that's going on in July as well, too. The Act Out, I believe it's called Act Out Show Out, I believe. A lot of events got coming on in mid-July. So y'all get ready for that as well, too.
Yes.
Look forward to that. That's going to be a really good event. They always come with it, always.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Excited.
Really excited. And let's not also, so we're talking about trailers. I almost forgot about this. We talked about it so many times. Fast and Furious. Finally saw the new trailer, man.
They have a new trailer?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, it's been out.
No, it's a new trailer, man.
It's another new trailer?
Yeah.
Oh, God.
And, there's a new trailer, and then also some news that possibly they may do another movie. Even though this supposed to be the last one.
But I thought that this was going to be part one, and then they're going to do part two.
Is it? Okay, I don't know that. Well, they're talking about coming in 2025, so.
Yeah, that was the plan. This Fast X was going to be part one, and then the next one's part two, and it's supposed to be over.
You know, I don't like what Marvel started here because we had Infinity War, but at least we got to see the second part of Infinity War later that year. You mean we got to wait 2 years for the next Fast and Furious to finally see the ending?
builds you up in anticipation. That's
what but you know what? I was on Vin Diesel's page the other day. All his posting wasn't 100 views, wasn't a million views until he posted Fast Fears trailer. So it has his audience.
I mean,
despite how we, it has its audience. So despite how we feel about it or how we look at it, it has its audience, and people are waiting, and they're excited about it. So hey, I don't know, man.
I mean, we got on this roller coaster a long time ago. It's too late to get off.
Yeah, man. And I started seeing them old pictures. I was like, damn, man, that was what, in 2000?
Yep.
Yeah, that was 2000, right?
Yeah,
about that time.
Make me feel old.
Make me feel old. I'm sorry, bro.
I was 2000. I was with in high school, freshman in high school.
Had waves, man.
Showing my age.
There were no grays. We had waves.
For yourself.
There wasn't no grays. We had the waves. Now there's grays with the waves, but you know.
In an innocent face now in the world. And
yeah.
I'm just playing. It's all about family. But yeah, man. But a couple more trailers that came out. The final trailer of The Flash. I guess it's the final trailer. And the reviews are in for The Flash as well, too. Despite how I feel about Ezra Miller and their shenanigans, the trailer looks good. Looks good. I got to give credit where credit's due. Looks good.
It's good. And even for me, because I watched the TV show as well with Grant Gustin, where they had, at one point, we thought the multiverse was done in that space, but then they actually, you can tell they're syncing everything up because they just reintroduced the multiverse back into the TV show film as well, so it can all kind of they realign everything. Yeah.
Yes,
it
is.
Yeah.
DC now, do it right.
Yeah, DC, yeah. But this raises a question now. Y'all think that he's gonna play Ezra Miller? You think he's gonna play The Flash again? Or he's done?
It depends on how much money this movie makes.
Okay, but if they're gonna give him a second chance, and they should give Jonathan Majors, well, what, all the things is going on.
Michael, it is black, it's white. Okay, let me stop.
I'm just saying, you know, Jonathan Majors he's been getting it every week. There's always something new. And just recently, they said a lot of people from Hollywood, his friends, is not even, they separating themselves from him. So I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Hopefully everything work out for the brother. And hopefully, you know, yeah, hopefully everything work out.
No word from Marvel, but we know how Marvel is. They just, they waiting to win. Like, they just wait.
They ain't gonna play with you, man.
And they stroking their chin. They doing this here.
Like old buddy from Kill Bill, that Grandmaster, that long gray beard.
Yeah, he just, you know, or the chicken from Family Guy.
I will talk about that. That's one of the top 10 greatest fights. That chicken and Peter.
That took up the whole show, and they met. Well, they time management on Family Guy is awesome. That took up the whole show, and they managed to still get other content on there.
Oh man, boy, when I say that is on site. If it ain't Tom and Jerry on site, if it's that chicken and Peter fight, that's on site, bro. They just knuckle up, bro. As soon as I see.
Yeah.
Oh man, but yeah. Last but not least, Guardians of the Galaxy. It's out, and there are great reviews as well for that as well too. I heard it's a real tearjerker.
Yeah,
last one.
I think this is James Gunn's last installment before he, his last Guardians. I appreciate Guardians as a Marvel project as a whole, because you know, going into Marvel when they started really doing these superhero movies, like I knew Iron Man, I knew Captain America, but I never knew nothing about Guardians. And I remember that first movie, like, I was like, the way they told the story and presented it, I'm like, this is really good. Like, you know,
Yeah. Guardians is really like that franchise is like refreshing because you, like you just said, Chris, we all know the background and all of it. And it's just the comedian side of it. Even the video game is funny. Like if you ever play the game, I literally was laughing through while I was playing the game. And it's one of, yeah, it's, they say that this is better than since Endgame.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm really excited to see how this comes out. And the second one was a tearjerker anyway, when one dude died. Well, when do?
Mary Poppins.
When he died, that was a tearjerker. So Sylvester Stallone gonna make his little appearance.
That's right. I forgot about that.
Maybe we can get some insight on what's happening in the movie. Wink, wink.
Yes, indeed. So, yeah, look forward to Guardians. I'm going to go see it. Y'all, I'm get my ticket right now. So, y'all make sure y'all get your tickets as well, too. My bad, ladies and gentlemen. I'm quite slow this morning. When Chris did that, we actually have a guest from Guardians of the Galaxy is about to stop on by. So, Giovanni Cruz, ladies and gentlemen, will be stopping by on the Just Acting Up show. So, y'all stay locked in. This going to be your interview.
And I'm James missed the alley oop pass. He just.
I did, man. LeBron, you've been like.
Yeah, he.
I'm up here just with the behind the back pass.
Yeah, he just doing the Magic Johnson pass.
All he had to do was just dunk it.
That's it. Had to put it back up, J.R. Smith. That's all you had to do, J.R. Smith.
Yeah. I thought I had to go down the corner. I thought we had more time on. Oh, man. I'm about to switch off on the top. I'm about to do a quick costume change. I'm trying to get my superhero gig going. So I'm about to do a costume change real quick, and I'll be right back. We'll be right back. Just Acting Up show. There we go. Ladies and gentlemen, Giovanni Cruz.
She's tired. She's jet lagged, but she's here.
That is. Give her another a round of applause just for that. Thank you so much.
Of course. Thanks for inviting me. I knew I wanted to talk to you guys today. Because I was like, you know what? I'll have just come back from the Guardians premiere. I'll have a lot to say about my experience there because it's my first premiere. I learned a lot. So I was like, let's do it today. Now I'm like regretting. I'm like, man, I'm tired. We are exhausted.
I'm so sorry. I thought about it too. I was like, I hope she'll be okay. And we're going to talk about all of that. And I was like, man, hopefully she'll be okay. Because I know those events could be different for you, but like I said, thank you again for joining us. So blessed, so honored.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you.
Yes. Well, before we go ahead and get things started, we want to learn more about you first. So let's tell us your journey and how you got started in this world of acting.
Oh man. You know, some people crack me up. They're like, I did a show in college and it changed my whole life. And I'm like, really? You started in college? That's all it took? Like, and good for you. And they're always the ones that are so successful because they have no bad habits, right? But for me, like, I was a show baby. I mean, I could dance and sing before I could talk. I was just goofing off and making people laugh. I grew up in a home with very young parents who were very stressed out all the time. And there was a lot of disharmony in the household. So I learned if I could make people smile and entertain, that was like a survival mechanism for me, you know. I could keep people smiling, I could keep them on the good side. And so my dad introduced me to Broadway real young. They put me in voice lessons. Like, I think I was like five whenever they put me in voice lessons. I mean, my parents recognized I had a talent, and we didn't have a lot of money, but they at least tried to foster that talent. And you know, small town, there's like one person that does music lessons in the whole town. It's usually the lady at the Baptist church, you know, that runs the gospel choir. So like I was the like only light skinned girl in the gospel choir, like doing all that stuff. But yeah, it's just, you know, school, singing in choir at school, acting in all the plays in school, mm-hmm. taking lessons from this lady in her garage studio. And then just kind of coming up and just doing whatever I could to act or sing or dance. And I focused the most on music because that was the most accessible to me at the time.
Right.
And so, I mean, I would sing wherever I could. I would do the national anthem at every football game. I mean, I grew up in Texas, so football games are huge. Everybody shows up. There are three things to do. There are three things to do on a Friday night in Texas, right? The movie theater, the football game, or stay your ass at home. Like,
right.
with your friends. Like, there's nothing else to do in a small town, Texas, on a Friday night. So I would go to all the football games and make myself available to sing and sing at all the football games. And eventually, I was able to make it up to the University of North Texas. I got an opera department. I got into the opera department there. Listen, y'all, if I knew then what I knew now, mm-hmm. I would have applied to Juilliard, gotten in on the scholarship for low income.
Yeah.
Right. And yeah. just were like, or like the other one I really wanted to do was Yale. I would have applied to Yale, gone, because I was so dang poor. But also when you're that poor, you don't know what you don't know.
Right.
Right.
I didn't know that all of these schools, all of these Ivy League schools have resources for low income talent. You know, that all you have to do is apply. And mm-hmm. even you don't even have to pay the application fee half the time. If you show the proof of, you know, your FAFSA, whatever, you don't even have to pay the application fee. They can see that you're dirt poor. You know what I mean? And so yeah. if I knew then what I knew now, I would have applied to all these schools on the East Coast and tried to get into those. But instead, I was top 10% of my school, which meant I had entry to any school in the state of Texas. And the one that everyone kept telling me to go to was UNT, because UNT has the best music department in the state and a very competitive one in the country. So I went there, I got into the opera program. I hated it because it was a bunch of stilted white folk, no offense, white folk out there, but it was just like, there was no room for people of color. There was no room for women. Mm-hmm. There was no room for, and that to me was a huge disparity and a huge, just a huge shame. There's so many talented people of color that wanted to do that kind of work. And the price of entry was, are you a man? Are you white? And I was neither. So I couldn't wow. really function in that world. They kept telling me, well, when you're 40, and I'm like, I don't want to wait till I'm 40 to work.
Right.
You don't right. want to grow into my skin. Like, no, I don't want to wait till I'm 40. I'm talented now. I'm here now. I want to work now. So I was like, well, I've always been a singer who acts. Let me be an actress who sings.
There you go.
And bam, yeah. that was it. I switched to film and TV and I hit the road running, immediately started doing commercials, started doing jingles, started doing voiceover. I mean, it took a couple of years for me to understand that, but that mind shift of that business, because it's very different from opera. But once I got in, I mean, I did whatever I could to reinvest in myself and re-educate myself to do that. And so, yeah, it's been 10 years and, I would say I'm doing okay.
Yeah. Yeah. That's cool. You also do voiceover acting as well, right?
I do a lot of anime. So I got involved in anime, through singing. So even though I was for a long time, a singer first and an actress second, and I hated my degree. Like, I could not wait to graduate. Dropping out was not an option for me. I was like, I can do nothing else. I'm not good at science. I'm not good at math. I don't want to be a lawyer. I don't want to be stressed out my whole life, she right. said at the time. she just didn't know what kind of stress she was picking is what happened. I had a friend at UNT who was, do y'all watch anime?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Yes. So some of these names might, if you're a big fan, some of these names might blow your mind. But I had a friend who was a regular on Dragon Ball Z.
Wow, man.
And she was a college student while she was doing Dragon Ball Z. And she kept telling me, I think he'd be so good in voiceover. I think he'd be so good in voiceover. I think he should try anime. And I was like, girl, I don't know the first thing about anime. The only anime I know is Pokemon. Like, I don't really watch anime. Like, I don't even watch TV. Like, And she's like, no, just come out, just audition. You know, we need people with voices that they know how to manipulate their voices. It doesn't matter. We'll coach you. And so she coached me into an audition, and I did. I auditioned and eventually got into some idol animes where it's required to sing and voice act, and they needed people who could actually sing. So I started doing the idol animes and kind of cutting my teeth there. And then eventually now I'm like a regular at Crunchyroll. So I go in, I have, you know, roles. I audition for things all the time for them. And I'm on a few shows right now doing anime, but even that's like a whole nother animal. But if it wasn't for the voice work that I did, that I invested in, even though I didn't know, I was like, what am I going to do with an opera degree? Like, this is, but I knew I had to finish. And I knew I had to network. And because I kind of stayed in and I stuck with it and I didn't quit before the miracle happens, as Harvey, you know, likes to say, I stayed in and met this girl, and she just took a liking to me and just was like, please do this thing with me. And so I've been doing that, and that's been, you know, a survival job for me is, and it's a fun survival job because it's anime. I get to do the wackiest things.
Cool. You'd go over. What's your favorite anime?
My favorite anime?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I like the obscure ones. And I don't, like I said, I don't watch a lot of anime. I tend to watch the ones that I'm in and some that my friends are in. But there was one that caught my attention some years ago. I had a bunch of friends in it, and so I started watching it, and it was Attack on Titan.
That's the one. That's the one.
So, like, the first, I watched like the first 3-4 seasons. I kind of fell off because I was like, it's getting weird. But like the first 3-4 seasons of Attack on Titan, I was obsessed. There's another one that I think that's kind of funny called Assassination Classroom. It's goofy. I'm not in that one either, but I just think it's silly. But my favorite one right now is one that I'm in, and only because it's whack. It is so whack. It's like, I watch it and I'm like, oh my God, this is for 13-year-olds in Japan. And just to give you a little clarity on that show, I play a dominatrix librarian who whips people. And this show was meant for 13-year-olds in Japan.
All right.
So I'm
anime
like,
world.
What is, it's crazy, but that one's called Fruit of Evolution, and it's a good time. I call it brain candy, because it doesn't matter. Like Attack on Titan is like, ooh, this is interesting. There's all this subversive stuff happening, but like Fruit of Evolution literally is brain candy. It's like you're watching it and you're like, I don't want to think right now. I just want to be entertained. I just want to turn off my brain. Like it's that. Mm-hmm.
Cool. Love it, and that's what anime is from. My Hero Academia and all the other ones, Dragon Ball Z, Naruto. Mm-hmm. So yeah, so it's cool. So it's like, it's kind of like what you hated, you turn into your strength and progress from it as well too.
Yeah. Well, I mean, to be clear, I never hated singing.
Right.
But the degree. I hated the politics of the opera world. I hated, it was a very stressful time for me. I mean, being a first generation college student, being the first person in my family to attend university, nobody's telling you what to do, how to do it, how to get there. Nobody has any clue or any insight. So when stuff goes down, you know, you have the added stress of, I don't know where to go or who to go to handle this, you know? So it was just college in general would have been stressful as a first gen college student. But then you add on top of that, this really difficult degree that I chose for no reason. I mean, not no reason, but because I wanted to perform. I wanted to be a performer. And then having to navigate the politics of that as a brown person and a woman and just, and a young person on top of that. It just wasn't the world that I wanted to exist in. But I found that, that film acting and theater was a lot more inclusive, you know, and it's funny, we have this conversation about inclusivity a lot, and there's a lot that they still haven't gotten right. It's true. There's a lot they haven't gotten right, but it's still, but if you can imagine this world being more inclusive than the opera world, that's, to me, it was way more welcoming, you know, way more welcoming. But yes, so like putting the classical degree to use, finding ways to put, I'm an inventive human. You can't tell me no. I'm the type of person that if you tell me no and you close the door in my face, I'm gonna find a window to climb through. Like, you cannot tell me no.
Yeah.
And I think that comes with the grit that one has when they are a person of color.
Right.
And a minority, you know what I mean? We're used to getting doors closed in our faces for no reason.
Right.
It could be your name, could be your ethnicity, it could be your gender.
Right.
You know, and so I've just found ways to circumvent that. And like, so when I know I want something, you can't tell me no. So I found a way to take that degree and to use it for the forces of good and to find a way to make it work for me. And what I found was I had to take language skills in order to get my degree. I had to learn French, Italian, and German. I had to take English diction, French diction, Italian diction, and German diction. So I had to take all these diction classes, all these language classes. I had to learn how to play piano. I had to learn how to sight read music. I had to learn how to mix well with other singers. All of these things that are skills that I learned with my degree ended up being so useful when it came to playing with others and the theatrical aspect. You know what I mean? Like, oh, you want me to do a French accent? Bet. I got the diction skills for that. You want me to do a British accent? Bet. I got the diction skills for that. You want me to play piano in the scene? Got it. You know what I mean? So I was just like collecting skills. It was just collecting skills and then finding a way to use those skills and apply them to this new world. And I found, because I didn't do a theater program, that I had a collection of skills that my peers didn't have. It made me more competitive.
Gotcha.
Beautiful.
You know? Because
gotcha.
Beautiful. I love it.
Yeah. So it's like I coach a lot of actors a lot on their resumes on IMDb. And to try to get to, you know, I try to coach them the business side of things. And one of the things that I always recommend is put your degree on your acting resume. I want to know if you're an engineer. I want to know if you're a scientist. I want to know if you went to school for business or law or accounting or social studies or history. I want to know that stuff because it informs me, if I'm the casting director, it informs me a little bit about who you are and what you're interested in. Not only that, but if I'm casting something historical, a Western, you know, Texas gets a lot of Westerns, right?
Right.
If I cast something historical, I know that you're going to have an appreciation of that history. If I need a sci-fi person and I need somebody to explain all the science jargon, I'm going to know that you, with your science degree, understand what you're saying. You know?
Right. Granted,
actors can fake this, sure. But isn't it easier to get someone who can't fake it, who won't, you know, who knows what they're saying?
Right.
I tell people that all the time too, with their acting resumes, like, don't just do acting, find other skills that you can do so that way you can stand out from others, like from stunt training, gun training, piano, all that.
Yeah.
So nice gem to drop right there for our viewers. Thank you.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, obviously, yes. Spend the time in acting classes, get involved in your community, you know, focus on developing your craft. Absolutely. But when it's slow, and listen, we're about to hit a writer strike. We know it's going to be slow. Everyone's prepared for at least 3 months of strike. This is the time, just like COVID was the time. This is the time. Excuse me. This is the time to go. Try that skill that you're too scared to try because you're afraid it'll take you away from work. you right. know, mm-hmm. if you want to try martial arts, but you're like, oh, classes are 3 times a week. And it's like, it's kind of like 2 hours a night. It's kind of intense. I don't know if I want to do that. Now is the time. Go do it. Or, you know, carve out the time for yourself, because it does come back around. All of these special skills that you can put on your resume, and your friends and your family might laugh at you because you're playing pretend or you've got all these hobbies, but you know what I mean? Like, they're useful. These things that make you will come in handy one day.
Amen.
Definitely agree. Now, let's get into some of your career accolades here. Now, you were on Queen of the South and NCIS and a handful of other shows. Is there a difference? Well, what's the difference to you between your film and working on those things?
I'm sure you've heard this before. So the difference between TV and film, in my experience, is that TV moves a lot faster.
Right.
It moves really fast. With Queen of the South, I had a unique experience with Queen of the South because I was an actor that worked in the writer's room capacity. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So what they wanted was they wanted actors that were available, that were bilingual. Again, hello, use your skills. They wanted actors that were available, that were bilingual, that could come in and read the scripts out loud. They needed to hear these characters in life. Mm-hmm. And so they would have table reads every week. And they were on an 8-day schedule. So they were on a 16-day schedule, but the way they would block it is they had an A block and a B block. So they had the A block would pre-production for 8 days, then shoot for 8 days. And then while they were shooting, the B block would pre-produce for 8 days and then shoot for 8 days. It happened so fast. And even though they were working on the scripts in advance, those scripts underwent major changes depending on how that show ended up being shot and edited. You know, So pre-production time was very important. It moved very fast. And then I did that for 2 years. And they kept saying to me, we need to find a place for you in the show. And eventually they found a place for me in the show that was originally written as an MOS character, which means I had no lines originally. Mm. But they were throwing me a bone because they liked me. And I remember showing up to set and they mic'd me up and I go, I don't have any lines. Why are you micing me up? They're like, oh, it's just in case. Bet. We ended up improvising that whole scene. We ended up improvising our whole scene and the whole scene made it in. So just to show, like, that is a major change that happened on the day that ended up, you know, changing the structure of the show, that episode. So, you know, it moves so fast it was like an 8-day thing. But even when we were shooting, they had 4 cameras, they cross shot, right? So they just found their angles and cross shot and we got like 2 takes. That's it.
Ooh.
We would get the first take, okay, go. Okay, make some adjustments. Second take, okay, go. Maybe a third take, but most likely not.
Mm.
They move that fast. Film, on the other hand, I have spent entire days on an 1/8 of a page.
Oof.
You know.
Yeah.
You know, so we're spending 14 hours to get an 1/8 of a page. So, and it's this angle and that angle and flipping the set and changing the lights and da 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 da. And it's, yeah. So it's, television is go, go, go. Film is like, it's like the difference between a marathon and a race.
Mm-hmm.
You know, TV is the race, film is the marathon.
Beautiful
Yes. And we tell people that all the time when they said, like we get others, friends or whatever, say, we want to be an actor. And I was like, do you have patience? Do you have endurance? Because there will be times where you are on set sometimes for 15 plus hours.
Yeah.
There's more. So you got to ask yourself that. And then some people are like, yeah. And then I'm like, okay, so when we bring our friends or whoever on the set, they're like, oh yeah, and they, you know, taking pictures or so, I'm on set, yeah. And then the third or fourth hour go by and they're like, okay, so when do we finish? I'm like, I told you.
Yeah.
We'll give you a time.
And how many times have you shown up and not been used the whole day? And your whole day was literally sitting around.
Yeah.
That's it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because they didn't get to you, or they didn't get to that scene, or they moved things around, or they changed things, mm-hmm. and now you're not in the scene, or maybe they thought you were. I mean, it happens.
Yeah.
It happens. I had a friend who was on Guardians with me, and she had several days like that where she was just, you know, in holding.
Yeah.
And she's like, "What? Why am I here?" And she's right. just sitting around, hanging around for 14 hours. So it happens.
Yeah.
And that's where mindset, having a mindset that appreciates the business comes into play.
Yeah.
Cause like you said, James, you've got to have like your friends that are like, your friends are used to 9-to-5s, or they're used to like the go, 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 or like moving all day, having a task all day. But in our line of work, the task is being in front of camera or preparing to be in front of camera. And that is it.
That's it.
That's it. Stay awake, do your job. Like, that's it. And people are like, well, that sounds really easy, but it's not. Mm-mm. It's not easy because you can't have whatever you have, whatever business or whatever's going on in holding or behind the screen. I mean, mm-hmm. it could be hour 12 and you've been sitting around for 10 hours and you're falling asleep and you're tired. But now you've got to go run around on set and pretend like a giant ghost monster is chasing you. I don't know, whatever. But you know, you've got to pretend like you're in this moment and it's fresh for you. And you have to find ways to be like, all right, let's go. Let's keep it.
Yeah.
Let's keep it going.
Yeah.
You know, not to mention the days where you're on set for 14 hours, but you're actually like working the whole time and doing scenes, and the scenes are intense and you have to refresh your brain every take. I mean, it could go either way. So yeah, I mean, it's not for everybody for sure.
No.
You gotta do a fight scene, do it again,
run it again, do this scene, this angle. Then okay, now do it in this angle. Yeah, okay. Now
all for them to use 3 seconds of it, right?
That's it. Yeah. Or say it this way, or say it that way.
Yeah. So that's on Suicide weird. Squad, I shot a whole scene that got cut. So I spent a whole day. It was the hardest day of my life for various reasons, shooting a scene that eventually got cut from the film.
Mm.
You know, but that's the job.
Right.
The job. It's not glorious. It's not fun. It's not always fun. It's not always glorious. It's work. It's work.
Right.
It's just a different kind of work. And I wouldn't do anything else. I would never. I still to this day ask myself and check in with myself because I think it's important. Like, could I do anything else? Yeah. Mm. Do I want to do anything else? Absolutely not. Even when things get hard. Even when we're under the stress of COVID or a strike or, mm-hmm. you know, not working for months, like I still can't see myself doing anything else.
Mm-hmm. I agree. So, and let's go ahead and let's dip into the premiere and everything.
Ah, yes. I'm sure you guys are curious.
Oh, yes. We all of us are. I know you can't. And we know how it is with Marvel.
Yeah.
It's like that Fight Club thing. Don't talk about a Fight Club unless it's about fight. And so tell us about your experience with, you know, being on, now you said not the red carpet, but the purple carpet.
The purple carpet. Yeah. Marvel has a purple carpet.
Yeah.
We do not have a red carpet. Let me tell you what I learned. Let me tell you what I learned. Don't ever let anybody tell you no.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Find a way to spin their no into a yes. And I'm going to tell you why I'm telling you this in a second. Find a way to spin a no into a yes, always.
Mm.
And always be prepared. Because I will tell you what. I've been saying for the last year, I'm going to that premiere. 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 So I've been preparing to go to the premiere. And because when I did Suicide Squad, and I was a character with a name in Suicide Squad, even though the scene got cut, whatever. I was there. I did the work.
Yes, you did.
Thank you. And I still made it into the movie. It's just not as much as it would have been. But but I wasn't invited to the premiere.
Gotcha.
Oh, wow.
I was not invited to the premiere. In fact, a lot of actors were not invited to the premiere. Mm-hmm. And I kept thinking, what the heck is this about? I didn't get an invitation to the premiere, but so-and-so, who wasn't even the movie, and her boyfriend got invited to the premiere. I, who worked in the film, did not get invited to the premiere. So here's the thing, guys. In these major motion pictures, there is now a shift. In the past, the premiere was for the cast and the crew.
Mm-hmm.
It was for them to enjoy the film for the first time together, you know, with their families and friends and some press. Now premieres are all press events. And there are people that are invited that have absolutely nothing to do with the film. And a lot of them are low rank social media personalities. And it's like, why is so-and-so who's got so many followers, not more followers than me? You know, actually he has more followers than me, let's be real. But like, you know, their whole presence is social media. You know, that's it. That's all they do. That's their job.
Right.
And my job is to act and do the movie. And I did this movie and I didn't get invited and they got invited, you know? So, but for platforms like Warner Brothers or Disney or Paramount or whoever, it's all about the publicity.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like they're like, you got paid, you're good. You'll watch it with your friends and family when you go to the movie theater. Like that's how it is now. So I had to find a way again. They closed the door in my face, so I found a way in. So I had to find a way to make this red carpet and to go. And I learned a lot about this experience. So yeah, the first thing I learned was just because you were in the movie, don't expect a ticket.
Okay.
Because it's probably not coming your way unless you're the star.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, if you do a big movie, have them add it to your writer. That's where it needs to go.
Mm-hmm.
So like if you do a big movie and you have a big enough or at least a competitive enough role in the film, have your agent or manager negotiate tickets to the premiere in your contract.
Nice.
That way you're guaranteed those tickets and you don't have to fight the way I just fought to get into this premiere, you know, and they're not sending it to press or randos, you know.
Right.
So that's the first thing I learned from this whole experience. Put it in your writer. Second thing I learned from this experience is if they don't invite you to the premiere, get a good publicist.
Mm-hmm.
Because the publicist has connections and can confirm that you worked on this movie and are available to attend the premiere. And they know it is their job to spin every no into a yes. So they know how to make it work just enough to be like, you know, to make it work. Yeah. So if you don't get invited to a premiere, hire a good publicist. Now, again, that's money out of your pocket, but we all know this business. You reinvest in yourself, right? Because all the publicity that I got from this event is going to compound more publicity, which will compound my credibility in the world as an actor, which will then compound the, you know, people that want to hire me. Right. So it's all a business tactic. So if, you know, it's money out of your pocket, and then the third thing I learned is, don't be surprised if everything comes through at the last minute. So make sure you're ready. Make sure you are ready. Make sure you got your team ready. You got your clothes ready. You got your tickets ready, your hotel ready. Cause a lot of that stuff is refundable if you don't make it in. Right. But in the off chance that everything comes together at the last moment, you want to be prepared. And that's pretty much what happened to me. Everything came together about a week and a half before, and I had to run and get a stylist and put a team together to help me get ready, and make a whole schedule. And it ended up becoming a job, like just schedule. Like I was my own production coordinator for this premiere, and yeah. And then, yeah. So then I got in and got on the red carpet. But again, like, this is all the behind the scenes stuff that people don't tell you because they want it to be glamorous and they want it to be like, they want to be gatekeepers and they don't want to tell you how they accomplish X, Y, Z, because it may not be the sexiest thing. Yeah. I had to hire a publicist to get it. You know, it's not, that's not sexy. I had to hire a publicist to get in a movie that I already acted in. They already worked. And I had to have enough faith in myself to say I deserve to be here.
Yeah.
Joe Schmo, you know, cosplayer with 50,000 followers does not deserve to be here more than I deserve to be here.
Right.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
I agree. You did the work. You put in the work.
I did. I put in the work. I was there for 3 months in Atlanta, living in a hotel, locked in because of COVID. I earned this spot.
Right.
And I had to make sure they gave it to me. So, yeah. But, you know, the experience itself, like walking that purple carpet,
amazing.
That was.
It was all worth it.
So worth it.
That's good.
So worth it. And watching the movie with my friends and others, you know, it was a unique experience because I'm watching the actors watch themselves on screen. So I need to watch it again, to be honest with you. Like I watched it and yes, I had the moments and I was like, oh, but I was watching, you know, the actors like watch themselves and gauging their reaction. Like that to me is really interesting, you know, like, so it was just like, that's most of how I spent the movie. It was like,
just watching them watch themselves.
What can you tell us about the film or what to expect from this film?
Oh, what can I tell you?
Because
we don't want more.
We don't want more. We got a little more.
Yeah, no, I'm good. I think I'm okay. Look, I'm pretty. I'm good at not spoiling things. I will say, we can expect. So, James Gunn is a great storyteller. I think we can agree on that. And the first Guardians movie was about Quill finding his family. And the second one was about Quill. Or the first movie was more about Quill understanding his mother and the new family. The second story was about Quill understanding his father and you know, his family. This last film is about the family.
Right.
You know, so it's not necessarily just about Quill anymore. It is we start to understand more about Rocket, about Nebula, about Mantis. It is more about the family at this point. And honestly, it's probably my favorite one. And not because I'm in it, because I'm a huge Marvel fan. I think this movie is the best movie since. So I think this movie is competitive as Wakanda Forever. I think it's as competitive as Wakanda Forever, and Wakanda Forever was good for me. I think it's as competitive as that. And that to me was like the last good Marvel movie. But like the last good Marvel movie was Avengers Endgame.
That's what they've been saying.
Yeah.
They've been saying that this has been the best one since Avengers Endgame.
And I think, not to raise the ceiling too high, but I think it's as competitive as Endgame, I think, for me.
Wow.
And that's my unbiased, but that's as a Marvel fan.
Right. There's nothing wrong with you saying it.
Through all the movies. Yeah. So, and like, I wanted to love Multiverse of Madness. I wanted to love it. My friend Julian is in that film. He plays Scarlet Witch's son, Billy. And so I wanted to love it because I love Julian and I love Elizabeth, you know, as a Scarlet Witch, and I didn't love it. I just didn't love it. And I wanted to love, and I did like Wakanda Forever. Actually, I really, really did like Wakanda Forever, but like the ones after that, I'm just like,
Yeah.
And you know, I think
that's how okay Marvel fans are. Yeah.
Yeah. It's okay for you to say that too. Cause like you said, you have your your own opinion about these films, and we do too, because you know, we're fans of it and we're hardcore fans of it, and we love these characters so much. And you know, every now and then, you know, you see your favorite film or whatever, you know, take a dip or a dive or go higher or whatever. And that's what we love about this. And it's good that they have somebody on their roster like yourself that cares so much. So
But it was a surreal experience. I mean, I can't tell you how many times I cried on set.
You have grown man crying up in here now. Come on, man.
When we wrapped.
Right.
On the last day, I'm there on the last day. The whole crew's rapping, everybody's rapping. You know, James is. I walked up to James Gunn and literally broke down in his arms like a baby. I was like, oh my God, James, thank you for. I mean, literally, and he's like, okay. He's such a nice guy. He's like, okay, yeah, no, it's cool. It's cool. And I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go down my, you know, just like.
That's beautiful. I love it. Love it, love it, love it. Oh my God. Love it, love it, love it. So a few more questions and, you know, we'll get you out of here.
So yeah.
Let's double back real quick, because it was a question I wanted to ask you. You're a dog lover.
A dog lover?
Are you a dog lover? Do you love
dogs? Yeah, I mean, I've got my little guy right behind me snoring like Darth Vader. I love dogs.
Yeah. Okay, I want that. So do you love all animals, or is it just specifically dogs?
No, I love all animals.
Yeah.
But I will only keep dogs.
Of course.
Yeah. Of course. I love all animals, but I will only keep dogs.
Yeah.
Is there somewhere we're going with this?
No, well, I saw it. I was like, she really loves dogs. Like, I'm a dog lover as well, too. And I was wondering, like, what type of dogs do you have? Because, like, I can't afford one right now.
Yeah.
I was
late coming here because I was busy brushing my dog.
I got an
American Bulldog. She's a big girl. She's a big girl. She's a big baby. She's all down, looking depressed. And I'm like, what's wrong with you? You don't have any bills to pay. But yeah, I was busy brushing her coat, making her feel better. And now after this, I'm gonna go, you know, play with her. But yeah, she's a big
girl. Yeah, no, I love all animals. I'm a huge animal lover. But I do, the reason I say I will only keep dogs is because, I have family members that are sensitive to all, you know, everything. Yeah. And, but I mean, I have, so like for me, dogs are, my dog is hypoallergenic. So like, well, you know, people can come over and I'm not worried about them having allergies or having a reaction to him or whatever, but I will probably always have a dog. I was shooting, honestly, pretty much everything I've ever shot has had a set dog. Either there's a dog in the makeup trailer or one of the leads. Like when I was doing Guardians, Dave's pit bulls came to set. He's got like, at the time he had two rescue pit bulls and then he rescued one more. So the puppy that he rescued came to set. She was still a puppy. But she came to set and like, and then of course we had the Cosmo dog on set.
Yeah, the Cosmo dog. Yeah.
And yeah, that dog is so much energy. But then there was a set of puppies in the hair and makeup trailer for the Legacy Effects guys. They had their own puppies. I mean, every set I've been on. When I was in Suicide Squad, there was a Pomeranian that lived in the makeup trailer. when I was on Beverly Hills Cop 4, one of the leads had like her, like you couldn't walk by her trailer. There were like three dogs in there. I just think having animals around on set when you have those long days, and you know, they can be stressful. I just think they're really good for the soul, and I think they're calming people down and keeping them sane. You know,
nice.
So I will probably be that actor that, like, if I have a trailer, if I have a big enough trailer, like, I'm gonna have dogs in my trailer. Like,
yeah,
write that down. Recommended.
Because when you're all day, like you need sometimes you just, I think it's helpful to have something to put your attention on other than yourself on those days. Because if it's all about you, you start to get stressed and wound up and stuff. But if you know you have to take care of something else, to me, that like helps keep me grounded.
Right.
Agreed. So I have one last question for you. You won an award for a short film, Poolside, right?
Yes. Yeah. That was, so Poolside, we've done a couple short films. There was one I directed and there was Poolside I acted in. And as you know, when you're starting off, you take almost anything you can get, short films, student films, all of that included. And so Poolside was something that we shot early on in my career, but it didn't come out until like over COVID. And the reason being is the producer and the director had cancer. Wow. And was struggling with cancer and was trying to survive it, and he didn't. Yeah. And so the cinematographer ended up taking over the project as a legacy and completing it on his behalf. And the film ended up doing quite well in the film festival circuit. But it made it to Cannes. It made it to all over the country, LA Film Festival, other film festivals, and it became an audience favorite. So yeah, it's a short film. I don't have a huge part in it. There aren't that many actors in it, but the actors that are in it, and again, we shot it, a lot of us shot it at the beginning of our careers.
Mm-hmm.
It's really interesting because now we're all doing things all these years later, you know. So there's a woman named Anne Baer who led it. She is a regular on For All Mankind and doing all sorts of other things like The Chosen and some other things. And then there's a man named Oscar Sung who was in it, and he's a phenomenal actor that's up, you know, doing some great things. I'm in it doing some. So it's really interesting how like to see where we were at the beginning of our career and kind of like where we are.
Full circle bonus, man.
I love it too. Yeah. Yeah. I love rooting my friends on. I love, like, I'm not a competitive actor at all. I don't believe in competition and acting because I think there's room for everybody. Right. I think we make room for everybody. And when we make room for everybody, it's like, that's more powerful, right? And so, like, I have friends that are doing things, man. Oh, you would not believe. And I'm so excited for them. And, you know, you'll see me posting on my Instagram a lot, like, cheering my friends on or, like, you know, so-and-so is doing Grey's Anatomy and so-and-so is doing this and so-and-so is doing that. And like, I love it. Yeah. I'm always going to cheer my friends on.
Likewise. Same here. That's what we do. And I like what you said too, make room, because that's going to lead to one of our last final questions was representation and, you know, women of color, you know, different nationalities. Do you feel like it's getting better for us all, especially for women? Because, you know, we see that women are stepping into these bigger and more stronger roles, and we love that. But we also want to see more of people of, you know, of, like I said, color, race. Do you think we're really stepping into getting better in the film industry and TV?
Yeah, I think it's slow coming. One of my main complaints 7 years ago, I was working a show. I was working a show that had only white hair and makeup artists. They didn't know how to handle my skin, my eyes, shape, my lips. You know, they made me look horrible. The makeup was horrible because they're used to doing makeup on white girls with European faces. I'm a Creole girl from the Caribbean. So like I have features that are not white. They're not black. They're mixed. And they couldn't really do my makeup. They couldn't really do my hair. I have very curly, coarse hair. And they couldn't do my hair. Like they didn't know what to do with my hair. And so I literally they were like done with me. And I went into my trailer and I fixed my own hair and makeup because they couldn't do it. Now, me, I'm a light-skinned person. But I've had a lot of my black girlfriends say, oh, I carry my own foundation. I show up with my face done and let them make adjustments. I show up with my hair done and I let them make adjustments, because the world has not been kind to Black women or Black men when it comes to HMU in the film and TV world. But I can say with absolute certainty, the last set I was on, almost, I would say 85% of the Black, of the show was Black, had Black representation. And 85 of the 8th hair and makeup trailer had Black representation. So I'm like, aha, we're getting it now. And a lot of it in the past was access. You know, people of color didn't know how to get into this world of crewing, for instance, crewing for a film. And they didn't know how to, like, you know, we need barbers. A lot of barbers didn't know how to get in as a barber to do HMU or to do that kind of work as a crew member. But thanks to like Ava DuVernay's company, thanks to Spike Lee's company, people are really trying to hire people that look like them to work on the actors that look like them. The other thing I've noticed, a lot of female cinematographers, nearly every set I've been on in the recent past has had a female, at least one on the camera department, whether they're the AC, so assistant camera, or, you know, a, leading a camera unit, there's at least one woman. Never would have seen that in the past. Right. Never. And a lot of argument in the past was that women are too short and the equipment is too heavy. But with, you know, DSLR, and women are clever as heck. Yes. I mean, put them on some Apple boxes. They'll make it work.
Yes,
you know, whatever, like whatever, they'll make it work. So I've been seeing a lot more female DPs. So like I've been seeing changes happening. The last couple directors I've had have all been women. Typically it was a man's world, you know? And like the last two projects I've been on, the directors were women. And before that, I mean, I think now it's almost equal. I've worked with as many women directors as I've worked with male directors. But in other things, there's still sort of the boys club mentality, or the good old boy club mentality in other things. So I have hope. I think we're moving in the right direction. I'm noticing changes. The changes are slow.
Right.
But I think I think insofar as the old guard begins to retire or leave or step down, we're recognizing that we need the people that are coming up to represent the actual people, you know, that what we look like. So I think it's just going to be a slow evolutionary process, but I think it is happening. Yeah. Yeah, but that is a big deal to me. It is, and I will always speak out about, like, now how are you going to have a Black actress and not have a Black hair and makeup artist?
Right.
Like, and how are you going to expect her to bring her own wigs or, you know, have this male actor? I've had a male friend. They told him, don't shave. We'll cut your hair on set. They didn't have a barber for him, but they told him, don't shave. I mean, Black man, gorgeous Black man, beautiful hair. He grew out his beard. He grew out his hair. He followed instructions. He followed the assignment, and they were not prepared for him. You know, they didn't have the appropriate tools, or the person who knew how to handle his hair texture and his beard and da 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 da. And so he ended up, he was like, I could have gone to my barber yesterday and had a better job done than this. And now that's on camera, and it lives on camera forever.
Yeah. We love our barbers. We'll fly them out. That's wherever they are, we're going.
Well, and so that leads me to another, the last point I think I want to make, because I know I've been doing a lot of talking. Y'all, I woke up, I had like 7 hours of sleep, but and that's a lot of sleep for me. But like I hadn't slept the last two nights, and I nearly slept through this interview. So the fact that I'm talking this much, bless.
We appreciate it.
Hey, you're welcome. We thank you.
But the last point I do want to make is for every actor, whether you're new or you're kind of in the middle of your game, because I think seasoned actors know this, but I want to encourage new actors. Always ask for what you need to do your job. If you show up on set and they don't have the appropriate tools to do your hair and makeup, check in advance if you can. Check in advance. I always ask before I show up to set, how do you want me to prepare my hair?
Gotcha.
Right? Because I know it's very curly, it's very coarse. They don't always have the people that know how to do it. And I always say, do you want it straight? Because it's so it's easier for you to manage, or do you want me to come pre-styled? You know, I always, because again, it's going to exist on camera forever. And I want to look good. And I have not looked good on so many occasions that I refuse. Mm-hmm. At this point, I refuse to just show up and let them do them, because they don't, some of them don't know. Mm-hmm. I remember being on set and they put me in costume that was very difficult to get in and out of. I had to have a handler help me go to the bathroom. I couldn't sit for hours. I couldn't, you know what I mean? So at that job, I had to basically stand my ground and ask for what I needed. And here's the thing. The way that I say it is always like, hey, this is what I need to do my job well. Mm-hmm. I can do the job without it. But if you want me to give you the level of performance that you're expecting out of me, please give me the resources to do that job better.
Right.
You know, and that includes this, this, and this. So there's a right way and a wrong way to ask for what you need. Being a diva ain't going to get anybody anywhere. It's definitely not going to get you anywhere, because they're going to be like, oh, that person's too hard to work with. I don't want them back on my set.
Right.
But if you say, hey, this wardrobe's really, really difficult. Can I just get a chair on standby nearby where I can just like put a knee up on it or something, or like something to like take this load off my back? I've been standing for 8 hours, like tired. I know I can't really move that much. Can I just have a chair nearby so I could just like put my body weight on it or something so I could rest, however I can rest. And they're more than accommodating, you know what I mean? But you have to, don't be afraid to ask. If you're hungry, if they're rolling through lunch and it's been 7 hours since you had breakfast, mm-hmm. and you know, like kindly ask someone, hey, can I get a banana? I'm really hungry. You know, like, right. No, I'm working right now. We'll chomp on it in between. I just really need to eat something right now. If that's okay. I don't want to pass out. You know, a lot of times they will accommodate you, but I've just seen actors be too scared. Like they graduate to a level of work, like a major DC film or a major Marvel film or you know, a show or something like this, and they like get too scared to ask for anything. You know,
can't be like that. Yeah, it was a guy that I did a commercial with not too long ago in Oklahoma, and he told me, he said, never, everything can be negotiated, you know.
Yeah,
he was telling me all the things, accommodations that he got. I was like, wow, maybe I should have said something.
Yeah. I mean, and that's the other thing, like courtesy, like don't take a job, don't pass up a job because it's too far.
Right.
I'm in Dallas. I live in Dallas. Dallas is not Hollywood. Dallas is not Atlanta. Dallas is not New Orleans. And so a lot of times I'll say, hey, I know I'll work as a local hire, but you know, I'm not local. Mm-hmm. I'm not expecting you to pay my hotel. I'm not expecting you to pay my gas. I'm not expecting you to pay my per diem. That's not the contract I signed up for, but you were aware that I was not a local. Could I have a courtesy hotel?
Yeah.
Because I know that a lot of these productions have blocks already on hotel rooms in a lot of places. And I'm like, I only need it for one day just to sleep so I could show up on set fresh. Can I have a courtesy hotel?
Yeah.
And because if I had gone through the SAG contractual process as, like to the level where they fly you in and they give you the per diem and they give you they had to. So first of all, when you're on that contract, they have to pay all your travel expenses. Mm-hmm. They have to pay your per diem and they have to give you a hotel and they have to pay you on that travel day as a work day.
Right.
So let's say there's a job you really, 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 really want to do, but you're not local. Not signing that contract saves them money, but then you could be like, okay, I didn't sign that contract, but I still, but can I have a courtesy hotel?
Yeah.
And it still saves them all that money, you know, but you just have to know, you just have to know these things.
Yeah.
You know, and the worst they can say is no. The worst, and they're not going to fire you for asking for a courtesy hotel.
No. Right.
Dropping some gems, man.
Thank wow. You, well, thank you for that.
So, yeah. So, Mike, so you guys are all from Houston?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, if you're driving into New Orleans, maybe get that hotel. That's a 5-hour drive, right?
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, yeah. And they like out of New Orleans, they like hiring people. Within 500 miles, but 500 miles is still like, you're not driving that to go back home in a day. No. I mean, you could, but like, I mean, what I'm saying is you're not going to drive to work and then drive home. Right. Like you're going to drive there, probably stay the night, probably do the shoot, probably stay another night and then go back home. Right. Because it's that far, you know, you can't really do it all in one day safely.
Yeah.
In those instances, be like, yes, I will work as a local hire. Can I have a courtesy hotel for my safety? Can I have a courtesy hotel so that I can do this job for you better? Can I have a courtesy hotel? They will not tell you no. Because you're still saving the money.
Yeah. Well, I thank you for that. Because they paid for my hotel and my flight. And the guy was saying, not all of them going to be able to want to do that. But everything is negotiable. So.
Well, yes. And the thing that I would like, the big takeaway, if I could just send you off with this information is try to always spin that no to a yes. And the way you spin that no to a yes is you say, how can I serve you? How can I serve you in order to get what I want? Like what, not necessarily like a quid pro quo situation, but like, for instance, saying, oh, well, that's not in our budget. Okay. Well, what's in your budget? What is in your budget? If you flying me out here and giving me a hotel is not in your budget, would just the hotel be in your budget?
Right.
Would just the flight be in your budget?
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, ask questions and don't be afraid to like get into the nitty gritty details. You know, if getting into this premiere, for me, it was like, hey, you know, so can I get a ticket? Okay. Yeah. Okay. Can I get on the red carpet? Here's, you know what I mean? It was like taking it inch by inch by inch by inch. Until I got everything that I wanted.
Right.
You know, I didn't ask for it all off the bat. I didn't ask for the whole thing off the bat. I didn't ask them to fly me out there. I said, hey, I'm flying out there on my own dime. Because if you are an actor and it is in your contract, they have to fly you out there.
Yeah, they do.
That's why I said, put it in your contract, negotiate it before you even sign the paperwork, negotiate that red carpet into your contract, because then they'll fly you out there and they put you up in a hotel. So nice. I said, I'll fly myself out there. I'll get my own housing. I'll get myself to and from the premiere. Can I just get a ticket? And then they gave me a ticket. And then I was like, okay, now that I've got a ticket and I'm going to the premiere, is it possible, since I am a cast member, to walk that purple carpet? I have a handler. I'll hire my own handler. I'll hire my own publicist. Can I just walk? Okay, cool. Bet. Let's go. So that's what I'm saying. Like, just ask for what you need. Ask for what you want. Don't be afraid to ask. The worst they can say is no. They're not going to fire you. They're not going to never hire you again. But do it in a way that is courteous. Do it in a way that is leading with gratitude. And chances are they will always accommodate.
Nice. All right. Well, I thank you for that.
Yes.
Thank you. Now that we know, just like you said, when you first started off, now I wish I knew before I started. And now that we know, God bless you, Giovanni. Real, thank you.
If there's anything that you learn from this, it's how to sneak your way onto a red carpet.
Yeah.
Yes, ma'am. There you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
The whole conversation just existed so I could teach you how to sneak onto a red carpet. That's all.
We learned from the best of the best around
here. Yeah, baby.
There you have it.
Well, and that's the other thing, guys. I want to encourage, I don't know how many followers you have that are from Texas, but I want to encourage you guys right now to reach out to your legislators, because they are renegotiating our tax credits for film and TV. And the more we can get them to give us money to bring productions here, the more we will all be working.
That's what we talk about.
And on the stuff that we want to be working on, not like these piddly puddly commercials for, you know, $500.
Yeah,
like
right.
The SAGs and the TV shows and the movies and the da da da. Right now we've got Bass Reeves shooting here. We've got The Chosen shooting here. We've got a few things that Netflix is doing in Austin. But we want this to be as competitive as Atlanta, right? Like we want Texas, Dallas, Austin, Houston, San Antonio, El Paso, Marfa. We want all these locations to be as competitive as Atlanta. And right now, reach out to your legislators, write them a letter, tell them that you're in the biz, you're an actor, you're a crew member, you're related to an actor, you're tired of giving them money for Applebee's or, you know, McDonald's because they're starving. Like, you know, get these jobs to Texas so we can work.
Yeah.
Gotcha,
ma'am.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. You have, ladies and gentlemen, Giovanni Cruz. We appreciate you for the nuggets and everything. We got to get you coming back on again if you have time.
Happily.
Later on in the future.
Happily. Look, what is the expression? A high tide raises all boats.
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
and I don't believe, like I said, I don't believe in gatekeeping. I will happily share any information that I have gleaned from my experience. It may not be applicable to everybody's experience, but I'm not going to gatekeep. There's room for everybody.
Amen to that.
You know, I used to have that saying too, and then I stopped it because someone said it also drowns the boats too. So.
We don't like them.
I'm like, well, I guess I can stop that saying.
At all.
Well, with everything in moderation, okay?
Like, there we go.
Rain is good for the flowers, but if a tornado comes through, it's going to rip everything up. Everything in moderation, people. Come on.
Yeah.
Beware of them tornadoes. There you go, ladies and gentlemen. Listen. Thank you again, Jill.
Thank you, and thank you for inviting me. I really appreciate you giving me your time today.
Well, thank you.
Hi, guys. Go watch Guardians, May 5th.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the part of the show where we talk about a certain fool. So, as Chris gets ready, brother, go ahead and take it away for acting a fool. Who gets it?
I'll be sipping this lippy rich. Oh, you know, I'm just getting my hip-hop rap on because, you know, a video was circulating this week. The internet of a white battle rapper. He learned the hard way to keep the N-word out of your rhymes, right? The rapper later identified as William Wolf said in a battle, "I ain't like these other battle rappers. They talk too much. Saying I can't use the," and he said the N-word in this battle. "My" was all he could get out before the rapper he was met with punch to the face.
Oh, yeah. Hell no.
Punched him in the face. He thought that he can use it. He was trying to, you know, he's like, well, you know, they use it all the time as a term of endearment. I'm like, look, you're around a bunch of hood dudes. They ain't going to take too lightly to you. We can do it, but you can't. And so,
that's right.
My boy, you're already in uncharted waters.
I just wish that my less melanated people would understand that this is a not brotherhood, but this is a society of prestige. Okay, we use the N-word amongst ourselves. Okay, it's not the greatest of words. It's one of the horrible words in the English dictionary. We get all that, but it's our word. It was your word, but now it's ours now.
Yeah, just stay away from it. You can debate that, the use of the word all.
What? You can
debate the use of the word all day and you know, the taking ownership, power, how we use it. But at the end of the day, if you can't dictate how somebody receives it and how they respond to what you say. With that being said, you know, funny true story. I once got in a battle rap with a peanut. He was roasted. Come on.
No. Wait, Chris, if I was about as close as that guy.
That was funny to me.
Okay. Well, you know, we in the time of mumble rap, right? So what do mumble rappers from the East Coast rap about? I don't know. Their verses aren't Pacific.
That's actually pretty clever.
I was just going to say that. That's clever, not funny, but clever.
I like it. You two for two. I like it.
Okay.
I give you that one.
Well, I know since we like the superhero movies and we like talking about all the Batman and all that stuff, you know, Batman's son got into the rap industry too in one of the comics. Yeah, they call him Lil Wayne. Get it?
Bruce Wayne. And that's the end of Chris's jokes.
It made me laugh because it wasn't funny,
but all right.
But it made me laugh. It was funny.
It's one of those, you think about it, you're going to catch that in the car. You know, on the way. You're already in the car.
Yeah. I wish I could catch you in the car, Chris.
Nice. All right, ladies and gentlemen, I got to go. I got to be on set. That's why you see me in different areas. I told you, we're getting ready for Conkalooza. I have to get my Batman, you know, quick change clothes and go, all that. But Mike and Chris about to hold it down. That's right. Anyways, but yeah, Mike and Chris about to hold it down, man, and I'll see y'all next week. So, all right, gentlemen, all right. Y'all have a good one.
All right, Joffrey, he had to step away. You know, he's trying to do his superhero thing again, so he's stepping away. I don't know where he takes flight from, but... you know, balancing that, we want to definitely give flowers what flowers are due always. And for this occasion, we want to salute our host, Joffy. You know, when the show was coming together, you know, it doesn't work if you don't have the right people in place, you know? And looking for somebody to, because I know my strengths and my talents. I know Mike knows his strengths and his talents. And I was like, no, we need a host that's going to be a dynamic host that's going to be able to carry the show and really drive or fly the plane. And Joffy was there. We met him at a mixer.
Yep. And it's like, man, God sent people in your life, man. And it's like from that mixer on, we've been locked in, and you know, our chemistry is great. And we just been grinding ever since. And he leads the charge on the show. One thing that I like about that I love about James, when James gets something, he opens up the doors, opportunities for everybody. Like he was saying, hey, these people are doing an audition. You guys need to come. You know, he'll send it on Facebook for other people that he follow on Facebook that follow him. He'll tell us about it. He's the type of kind of person where he wants to see everybody win. And a lot of people don't have that trait in, you know, nowadays. And James, man, he got it. He's a good guy, man.
It's not even just on camera, just off camera as a person, you know.
Yeah.
People think we've known him for years, you know. Like, I've known Mike since high school, but... You know, sometimes people you just meet and they just kind of fit right into the fold. And like, that's how it was. And we've really grown a brotherhood here, a real family with Tashay as well, with James. You know, he's a good guy, man, like on and off camera. So shout out to James, man. Happy birthday, bro.
Happy birthday to James.
Turn it up. Don't party too hard now.
Yeah, he old man, 35.
I will say you got your gray hairs now, but you
have as much as he ain't, you don't have. he got no.
Not much up there. Happy birthday, bro. Peace and blessings, man.
Yeah, man. Peace and blessings, bro.
Thank you, man. All right, ladies and gentlemen, shout out to our guest, Ms. Giovanni Cruz. She was great to have on. Hey, be sure to go see Guardians of the Galaxy.
That's right.
Out May 5th. Definitely go see it. I know I'm going to be there. So y'all should go see it too. Great show, man. Any last words, Mike?
Oh, man. Patience. That's all I have to say. Patience and prayer and consistency, and things will work out in his own way. But you just got to have patience and prayer and consistency. That's it.
What they say, faith, consistency, and hard work, it always pays off.
It's always going to pay off.
Yeah, it may be different people, but the formula is still the same. So
That's right. Absolutely.
So let me get y'all a quote of the day before we get up out of here. Pay attention to whom your energy increases and decreases around, because the universe giving you a hint of who you should embrace and stay away from. And just always remember to laugh out loud, follow your heart, and enjoy the little things.
Absolutely. I agree.
All right. And so on that note, about to go and see what these Texans is doing, see how this look now that we done drafted our players, and, you know. Because I know we're going to be beating the Steelers at some point, if the Steelers are even competition with you.
We'll see. That schedule haven't came out yet, but you know, this year we will see you guys, and I will be in the building, and I will be live at 5. Steeler Nation.
What? Excuse me, say what? No, but I ain't hear that.
I said Steeler.
I'm going to cut that in the editing part. Steeler Nation.
Nation.
Nobody cares. All right, y'all.